Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition, special Monday edition of Is Good on killradio.org. It's November 20th. My guest is Tan Namoro. I have them setting up all their awesome equipment in the background. We're going to do a live thing, going to do some interview stuff. But in the meantime, let's start out with a track from their brand new CD, The Movers and the Shakers. This is the title track. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Hear Hear on killradio.org. No, you're not. I can't believe I just did that. I was doing Hear Hear just a little while ago, and it's Monday. I'm not used to being here on Mondays. You're actually listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Tan Namoro.
Hey,
say hello, everybody.
How's it going?
Yo.
Do me a favor. Let me know who you are and what you play.
All right. Well, I'll start off. I'm Mike Griffin. I do guitar, and I share some of the vocal responsibilities and co-songwriter.
I do guitar. I'm Bill Watterson. I actually play the bass.
I'm Eric Hamilton, and I do turntables.
Yes!
Nice.
It's catching on.
How many people are in the band altogether?
We got six total. We got six guys, and I think it's going to stay that way. It's been working out pretty well. We've got us right here, us three, and we have keyboardist, vocalist, and we have a drummer, and we have a lead guitarist.
And this, did it always start out as such a full idea, such a full sound, or did it begin as a guy and a guitar and you just kept adding layer after layer?
It began as two of us, Mike Shanslin, keyboard player, and I. We recorded together and played together, but just over time we realized that the sound we want, like what we're trying to do, just really can't be done live with just two guys. So it actually kind of gradually became what it is now. We're trying to get a real full, lively, live thing going.
And how long have you guys been together as a band?
As a band, as it currently is, I don't know. How long has it been?
I've only been playing 6 months.
Yeah.
Six, 7 months, maybe.
6 months. And
I think I was the last to join.
True. Yeah, about 6 months, I guess.
Well, why don't we jump into a live song, and then we'll go through each of you and pick your brains about what went wrong in your life that made you want to get into music.
Yeah. Sounds fair enough.
What do you got for us starting out?
Let's start out with Stars. Hamill, you got anything for this? All right, I can start it off.
My guest is Tanda Morrill. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
We've been looking all through the highway, looking for music. We've been searching all through the highway, looking for people.
Tomorrow on Is Good on killradio.org.
Booyah.
That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
Mike, tell me about your first guitar.
Oh, God. First guitar was probably would be an acoustic that we had in my household. I think my mom used to play one of those Spanish style, like real old cheap ones. And I just sort of picked that up. Once I picked it up, there was kind of some pressure to start with lessons and all that. I didn't really take to that, and I promptly quit lessons, but continued playing guitar, luckily, because I think people that stick with lessons end up quitting guitar, so I chose the
latter. So quitting lessons actually made you learn guitar.
Exactly.
I see. And then had you known for a long time that you were going to be writing songs and singing them?
You know what? I started off doing guitar and just playing the songs that I love, and it took me a long time to eventually start singing. I guess I was writing songs on guitar and everything, but Mike Shanslin and I used to play together in high school, and that was about the time that I started writing stuff. But it was all instrumental and, I don't know, not that interesting. And we decided that, like, to be a real band, you know, you need vocals. We wanted to be a real band, like, that sings and just goes crazy. But we didn't want to sing, and we were looking for people to sing, and it took about a year of just not finding anybody that we decided that we have to sing, you know, ourselves. Otherwise, it's just not really going to happen. So we started singing and writing our own stuff.
Did you have were there certain kinds of stories that you felt you had to tell? That even if you had another singer, maybe they would tell them for you. But in your writing, was there what were you mostly writing about?
We were writing about, like, things that weren't necessarily our real life. Like, we loved, like, writing songs about, like, chicks and stuff and, like, awesome parties and, like, doing cool things. And it was just us.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like you guys at all.
Yeah. Nah, it's not. I mean, it's almost like there's a fantasy element to some degree. We kind of paint it realistically, I think. But, it was just kind of what we wanted out of life more than anything. You know, it wasn't really a lifestyle at the time.
And how'd you pick the name for the band?
Well, that was another sort of long indecision that eventually became the name. We went through a couple names. Nothing very good. And actually,
that's a good name for a band.
Yeah. Original.
What are you going to see, Ma?
Yeah. Nothing good. Okay. And, you know, it came time to put something on a CD because we actually recorded something that we were proud of. We were going to give to a bunch of friends and burn and spread around. And we wanted it to get around beyond our own, like, influence. So we knew we had to have something. And we actually didn't even have a name then. We just put my email address on it. And hope that people would, like, contact us and remember us somehow. Tandemoro came. It was a real desperate night of, like, we had a show booked and we really needed a name that night.
Wow.
And so that night I was going through my Latin flashcards and came across tandem, which means finally or at last, and oro, which means to speak, plead, or pray. So I was like, all right, sounds cool, and it means something. So
nice.
There it is. But really, we don't want people to think about that. I really shouldn't have said it because we want it just to be sort of an aesthetic, like, name, you know, which is hopefully what it'll be over time. But yeah, it does not mean golden duo, if anybody is asking, because that's what we get all the time. Because oro is like gold and tandem is like a
right.
Duo. It's horrible. Yeah, horrible. It doesn't mean that.
What about the very first time or the early times we started performing live in front of an audience?
Mm-hmm.
How were you received and what were you expecting?
You know, actually, the early stuff was great because, you know, Mike and I were doing our thing and giving it to friends, and, like, we'd basically only play for them. You know, as far as Tandemoro concerned, we've been in bands our whole lives and played for just all kinds of different stuff. But Tandemoro started really nicely because it was like, you know, groups of friends that would kind of book us shows and we would go play for them and their friends, basically. And so we didn't really have a real fan base or local thing. We would kind of go all around California, play up in, like, Santa Cruz, you know, San Luis, Santa Ynez, and just all around. And they would be great shows. People would, like, know the songs. Even the first CD we put out, we would go and play little shows and everyone would know the song and, like, love it. And it was great. It was actually great. And now we kind of stepped away from that in an effort to just make a really good local, like, LA fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, it's been a little harder to build something in one spot. It's kind of easy just to travel around wherever there's fans and just, like, play for them.
Right.
You know, but we're getting a little more ambitious and we're trying to really build something here.
Are you finding that, you know, sort of putting yourself out there in the LA music scene, that you're being paired up with different bands that don't necessarily bring you the right audience?
Totally. And it's just kind of generally hard. You know, if you look at just LA as a whole, there's a lot of just lame, gigs that you can get mixed up with, you know, like on the Sunset Strip or something stupid.
Right.
And it's been a real, you know, blessing to find the Silver Lake Echo Park thing going, because really any show we play there, we're happy with. You know, whoever they pair us up with over there is awesome. So we're happy with any show there. Because, yeah, man, there's so many experiences. You know, you're playing some, like, lame show with some heavy, you know, metal band that you just have no business playing with, you know? Yeah, but it's been great. The Silver Lake Echo Park thing has been awesome. We're so happy there.
Well, cool, man. Let's talk a little bit about the bass.
You don't have to. You can keep talking to me if you want to.
You sure?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell him about me?
No, that's good.
I've only known you about 6 months, buddy. You can go ahead with that.
Well, like, just tell me about how what it is that you bring to Ten Tomorrow, like your style of playing bass that you think fits in well what Mike is working on.
It's a really interesting question, because I'm actually just shadowing what Shanslin does bring to the band with his own aesthetic, because a lot of the songs came to me with, if not complete recorded bass lines, at least ideas of what the bass would be.
Mike Shanslin was the previous bassist.
He's a great, great bass player.
And now it's just keys and vocals.
I'm actually been cursed the last three bands I've been in. I was like the least talented bass player in the band.
And the only.
Or at least second or third. No, I was always...
You're the one
always,
actually playing bass.
You're the one actually playing, yeah, yeah. Although my next band will be six basses.
There's a Spinal Tap song.
And a tambourine.
Yeah. Have you seen that? The Spinal Tap song?
Yeah.
Like Mudflap Woman or something, where they're all three of them playing bass. Yeah,
right.
Awesome. We'll do that someday, maybe.
But it's the funk. The stuff on the record is really funky, really groovy, and his placement and his timing is unquestionable. It's so good, and he never overdoes it, but he can still play busy. And so I'm still trying to find that.
It sounds like you're talking about yourself in the third person. That's awesome, dude.
That'd be
marvelous.
And I'm getting there. I'm getting there. And I'm getting there sort of through some other avenues of what I like Rick Danko in the band, plays very funky, and Bruce Thomas in the Attractions is busy but really lays it down. And those are things I was listening to before joining up with these guys, and now I'm sort of filtering through what they do and what I like, trying to achieve what Mike has done and what the band is looking for. And it's really just about knowing the downbeats and trying to make good decisions in between the chords. Mm. And Mike makes great, great decisions. So a lot of times I do copy what he's come up with, or I'll have something that's okay, but I'll ask, what was it you did on the record? You know, to try to get in exactly the way it sounds, because I really am a fan of his playing. I did record some of the stuff of the record on my own, and some of the songs came.
Yeah, well, the new stuff, I mean, we've I think you're fully integrated at this point. I mean, the stuff on the new album, and at this point, it's you. You know, I think. I mean, you did
the musical sniper
with us. Musical sniper. Yeah, you've done enough with us at this point. You know, you can stop giving Mike Shanslin that much credit. Come on, man.
But I really like it when they. Some of my favorite stuff is when a song starts out sounding really country, and then it ends up in a funky, heavy beat, well-produced place. But if you have that root playing, which I love. I used to play in a Pogues cover band. I used to play in a country band. I like that straightforward, foot-stomping bass. When you start out really knowing the song through that, and then it becomes something else, then you have total freedom to just dance around.
From listening to the album, I mean, there's definitely a musical theme that comes up in all of your music is an emphasis on the beat. Mm. Like, sort of looking at yourself in the world of indie rock, how would you describe the thing that makes Ten Tomorrow different? I mean, without giving yourself a big pat on the back.
Right.
But
I don't
there's
mind
definitely,
giving myself a pat on the back.
There's definitely a difference to it.
Oh, breakdancing, there you go.
Well, I was, you know, using it as a segue to get to what you're bringing to it, Hamilton, which you don't see in a lot of indie rock bands, which is, explain to the audience again what equipment you have here in the Kill Radio studio and what you play when you play live.
Well, I just have...
And creak that chair a lot.
He gave you the creakiest chair.
I've got just two turntables, you know, mixer, basic DJ setup. But I used to, when I first started, and the things that I used, like the records that I had used to put over the album, I converted to MP3, and they're all on my laptop now, and I use the laptop and Final Scratch, so everything's just all on that. And that way I don't have to look for things. It's all just pre-organized, and mm-hmm. It's a lot more simpler just to get things going. And throw in other things, you know, that are on the album that, you know, can do live, as opposed to not having that sound live. You can have it now just by working it on the record.
We're so urban and dance-like, we like to have police sirens.
I know, isn't that great?
Yeah. That's how kick-ass we are.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
You won't get me, copper!
It's like, well, we broadcast from the median strip of a highway, so that's why. Oh, there's something
yeah,
good going
something
on.
Awesome
there.
Going on.
Crowd true. Control is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, man, they're going crazy.
It's all the What's teenage up, ladies? Girls banging down the door over there.
Yeah.
Tell me about when you come into the song, either live or recording wise. I mean, are you the beats and the effects that you bring to the song, are they part of the foundation of the song, or are they more like the icing on the cake after the song has been built?
I'd say, I don't know, a little bit of both. I mean, because the stuff they did, you know, beat wise and just lyrical wise, like I try to incorporate something that's going on, you know, with the scratch that's also going to kind of play in with the song, like Movers and Shakers, for instance. It talks about kind of like moving and shaking.
But
like just things like that, I try to, you know, incorporate either, you know, with the song and make it sound as good as possible.
Is there another instrument in the band that you sort of look to for your cues when you're scratching? Like, do you kind of follow the bass player or?
Yeah, somewhat, you know, depending on the songs, I'll look for, you know, different things in each song to scratch to mm-hmm. it or.
We kind of dump a lot on him too, you know, sometimes there's something that might be recorded in live. We just kind of need him to do it. You know, and it's kind of hard to do a guitar solo on turntables. But sometimes, yeah, you know, and recording wise, Hamill, he's been bringing more and more like to actually inspire songs. You know, so he's been giving us stuff that we that is the foundation of it, and I think he's getting more into even original songs pretty soon here.
I mean, I want to. I don't know. I guess eventually to the point where. Like, I also use the synth, like Chaos Pad, too. I use that with the turntables for some stuff, but...
What does that do, exactly?
It does, like, effects.
Let's do a little demo.
Noises.
Let's do a little demo, buddy. I love it.
Like, for the song we did, Stars, it has kind of like that weird spacey sound going on. Or, you know, it's got a lot of weird, you know, just sounds and things like that. Try not to overdo it and just, you know, throw it in here and there in songs.
But has that always been your thing, though? Like, weird sounds and
kind of. I've been a fan of just every genre of music, so there's really nothing, like, I don't listen to. I mean, I'm always pulling stuff from somewhere, just thinking of, you know, any type of genre to kind of get inspiration or get inspiration from them.
Cool. You guys ready to jump into another live song?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do something.
What do you have in mind?
Let's do something. Let's do Patch of Luck off the new. This is off the album.
All right, my guest is Tan Damaro. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, isgoodmusic.com.
Your luck that I've been looking for. Things won't be the same. I don't think I can ever complain again about being bored. I wonder where it's been. I've been looking all over and over again. It's troubling. The greens are coming back. Falling through all of the cracks, and now it's here again. I'm still gonna have to work, and there's no guarantee that I won't suffer now and then. I might lose my patch again, hung up by a screw with my back against the wall. But it must have been so small, 'cause it left no hole at all. One, two, three.
as I looking up, I think I found my patch of luck that I've been looking for. Things won't be the same. I don't think I can ever complain again about being bored.
So that was a
patch of luck
from your new album,
The Movers and the Shakers.
You're right on top of it, aren't you? Tell me, this is your debut full length, is that correct?
Yeah.
As Tandemora, anyway?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's kind of our debut real release. We've done a full length in the past, and we've done an EP in the past. Both of which are actually available for free on our website, tandemora.com. And this one, we're trying to do for real. We pressed it so it looks nice, and we're going to sell it for once, attempt to. And and we got it into stores. We got it into Amoeba and Sea Level Records.
Cool.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
That's great.
Oh, so people
thanks,
can go.
Thanks for promoting it, buddy.
Awesome. So people can go buy it now? They can stop listening to this and go to Amoeba and buy your CD?
Absolutely. At Amoeba or Sea Level Records.
Did you know that?
Hamel
knew that.
Yeah.
Nobody told me that.
The internet stuff soon. Like, that takes a while for some reason. Like CD Baby and Amazon and
iTunes.
It takes
like a month or so.
Yeah,
huh?
I don't know why, but it'll be up there soon.
Tell me about the process of putting together a full length. Like, how many tracks are on this?
15.
So how long did it take you guys in the studio to actually complete this album?
I mean, more or less, it took about a year. Because, we finished up the EP, put a band together, played with the band and tried to kind of feel out the new sound, like tried to feel out see if we could realize what we wanted to be, a real good, like, live, danceable, like, original sound. Once we kind of got that, we started to feel out, how everyone's doing. We started to take these songs, and I guess this is like, late summer, early, late summer last year. And we started to take our songs and get the guys in the studio. We recorded it in our apartment. Mike Shanslin and I lived together. And we just recorded out of his laptop and, like, brought in the guys one by one and, like, kind of tracked it that way. It took about a year.
And while you were doing all this, were you also playing live?
Yeah, doing shows here and there, where we could. And mainly in an effort to solidify our sound.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have the album, we've got our sound going. I feel like now we're ready to just really do shows, maybe even get on the road a little bit. I don't know.
Did you kind of tire of the whole recording process after a while, or which do you like more, the layering of the the mastering a song, or the performance element?
I might go with live when it's at its best. Day-to-day recording is just, it's the way we have it set up now is really fun. It really didn't get old. I mean, it probably got old for Mike Shanslin because he was doing everything.
It's never a dull moment recording with him.
Well, like, it's in our apartment.
The random yelling of things and just like overall, like, fun while recording. It's not really like recording when it's with both mics. I told them they need to just make a break record for hip hop and put it out there, because the things they yell out and scream is just hilarious.
Yeah, Pro Tools is beautiful. You can just erase anything and try it again without wasting
nice.
Tape, So yeah, we mess around a lot, and the recording process is great. I really, at least the role that we get to play, Mike Shanslin does a lot of the sort of producing. He kind of takes care of all the real stuff and mixing. So I get to just go in and with Hamlet or whatever, and we just, like, fuck around, basically, and, like, just come up with stuff. And it's, it kind of hurts in a way because it becomes a really slow process. Like, this probably shouldn't have taken a year, but it enables it to be really fun, and it doesn't really get old.
But I think it should have taken a year. I think there's a huge progression from the recordings I first heard to get interested in you guys to...
Okay.
I think you had a very intelligent process of who are the people, what are they going to sound like, and with this combination, what can we do? I think it was very well thought out. And then for the album to happen in stages, I felt like every time we got together as a group, something new came out on the record. And the sound, you didn't just come up with a sound and then force it on six players.
Right. Because that's what we used to do.
You developed a personality. And through that personality is coming this music and this sound and this production value. I think that's really smart.
At least not getting kicked out today, that's for sure.
You bought yourself about a week, buddy.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, and also I think part of that is incorporating you guys into it. You know, it would have been tough bringing in a pretty new band into, like, the studio and just, like, try to record a bunch of originals. You know, it would have been real hard. So it kind of also took some time to get everyone acclimated to the new songs, too, you know, and to write the songs. We're not craftsmen when it comes to songwriting. We kind of have to, like, wait for inspiration, you know, wait for the good stuff to come and give us time to edit out all the horrible stuff. And so, you know, it helped with the songwriting, too. We have kind of a slow process in general for recording.
Well, I mean, that's only worth it if you get the product in the end.
Absolutely.
It looks like you have. Let's listen to another track from this product. What do you recommend?
Let's hit up a track. Let's do track. Let's look at that. We've Got Time. I think it's 6. We'll represent Mike Shanzling because he couldn't be here today. This is one of his songs.
Yeah, 7, I think.
Track 7, I think.
Yeah. Next time, number the songs on your CD, man.
Yeah, whatever, man.
As a radio DJ, let me just tell you. The songs are great, but it takes forever to find the one.
Yeah.
Was that
like
7?
It's 7, yeah.
Right, cool. This is We've Got Time.
All right, you're listening to 10 tomorrow on Is Good on killradio.org.
Just write my name on a photograph.